Well, hello everyone, and welcome to a great episode. I know it's going to be great, of Innovation Odyssey. I have with me Andrew Bate. He is the CEO and founder at Safely, and he tells me he's in Atlanta now, but going off to the Midwest very soon. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Hello. I'm great. Thank you.
So that's your weekend plans?
The weekend is to go to Milwaukee, where I'm from.
Okay. All right. So we always start with the guest doing a 30-second elevator pitch of who they are and what they do.
Sure. Well, I'm Andrew Bate, and then, like you said, I'm the CEO and co-founder of Safely. And at Safely, we started because we saw homeowners concerned about letting internet strangers come into their house through Airbnb and Vrbo and Booking.com. So what happened is these homeowners would leave their home empty, their second home. They'd just leave it empty when they weren't using it. And it could be empty for 48, 49 weeks of the year. And so started to just interview a lot of homeowners. Why would you be so silly to leave this valuable home empty? People want to stay and they'll pay to stay. And then they say, well, of course, I don't want internet strangers. I don't want people sleeping in my bed and being in my space. And so we started safely to solve that problem. How does a homeowner comfortable with internet strangers, with who's staying in their house and that things will be fine if anything goes wrong? And how do we get them comfortable? And so they can monetize this house. So founded Safely. So what we do at Safely is we answer a homeowner's biggest questions when they think about renting. Who's staying in my house? And to answer that, we screen the guest. We verify their identity, check for felonies, look at sex offender lists. We have a contributory database of bad guests, people who have destroyed homes and should never rent again without the right supervision. And then once you can understand risk, who they are, how they booked and where they stay, well, then you can underwrite it or create an insurance program. And so we built an insurance program beginning with Assurant, but now we work with Greenlight Re very closely. And so we built a program that covers the guest caused damage, and it covers the liability, the commercial liability a property manager and a homeowner have when they're running a business from their house. And so that's what we built.
So when I think about Safely, I have to think of it as actually a insurer to the layman. Safely is an insurer?
Correct. And we're an MGA, but we also have a captive. So we take some of the risk and we get our claims team is in-house. So we do a lot of the insurance-related activities as an MGA would.
Okay. But you also mentioned captive. And so you do both.
Right. We take some of the risk. Our partners like it when we do.
So like a lot of the people that I know, they're not so familiar with insurance. So maybe you can explain what's the MGA and what's a captive?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So an MGA is a managing general agent. Pretty much you run an insurance program without having the balance sheet behind you. So the capital is not yours because there are always going to be companies, entities with more capital than a founder or someone who wants to start an insurance program. So this MGA is what looks like an insurance company to the consumer who you're selling to, but is really does limited parts of the insurance value chain. So, for example, we handle distribution, we handle customer support, we handle money collection, billing, we handle claims, and then all the technology that we built is ours. And so then we have the right partners that provide the balance sheet, that provide the insurance, the risk capital to make sure that all the promises we made with our insurance policy can be fulfilled because they have the balance sheet and the experience to handle and to manage an insurance program. So that's kind of the difference. Whereas if you look at an insurance carrier, you might know State Farm or Allstate or some of the big ones. They usually hold the balance sheet themselves, and they do all those other activities. So you'd call them an insurance carrier, whereas we're an MGA, managing general agent, and we do the activities that make sense for us to do because we know our customers well, we know the needs in our industry well, and we build the technology to work in our industry, the short-term home rental industry.
Okay. And I would say that you've been in insurance for a long time now, maybe 12 years?
It's coming up on that, absolutely.
And have you seen any interesting changes in the last, say, 5 years, just when it comes to how carriers deal with MGAs or deal with founders like you? Has there been anything that you can speak about?
Yeah, in general, I think there's always been some attention paid to startups and what new categories of insurance are out there. So the carriers, they almost all have a really good innovation team that looks to see what's out there and where they can expand. I think also with carriers, they're usually so big. Like, you can't be a small insurance company. You pretty much have to be a big insurance company. When you're a big insurance company, that means you have complicated operations. You have embedded programs that have been running for decades. And so it's harder to change as well. So the challenge working with carriers, if you're a founder, is that they have so many problems to solve or opportunities to fix, not problems, but just if they can make their claims 10% more effective or cost less or whatever the metric is, well, that has a massive impact on a multi-billion-dollar organization. Whereas any good startup, you 5 million, 10 million, 20 million is amazing for a startup to get to, but it just doesn't move the needle for a big carrier. So I think the dynamic of carriers having so many opportunities that they can address internally that have massive impact to their business means they'll usually remain really focused on internal things before going after a new opportunity. But at the same time, they know that they have to pay attention to what's next in the insurance world.
Okay. So it's generally been positive, I would say.
I say positive.
Okay.
I say positive. And I think insurance is a very friendly industry. People get to know each other and personal relationships matter. And so, yeah, there's a lot of support in the industry. Not everyone wants to work with us, but there's still a lot of support and cheerleaders on the side as well as through our partners.
Okay. And how big is Safely in terms of employees?
Yeah, we have 32 employees all in the United States. We're just in the U.S. right now.
Okay.
And, 32 people and, about $23 million of premium rate right now.
And you have plans to expand to Europe, to other parts of the world?
We do. That said, we're working with about 2% of the U.S. market today, and we think all of the U.S. needs what we have. Okay. We think the whole world needs what we have, but really we've got some more work to do in the U.S. before we look too broadly.
Okay.
And our typical customer is a professional property manager. And this is just a business that doesn't scale very well geographically. Meaning, if you run, if you're a property manager, it's very operationally intensive. Uh-huh. So you're likely going to be excellent in one geography, the panhandle of Florida, North Carolina, Lake Tahoe, all these great places. But your excellence in one of these areas doesn't necessarily transfer to another place, mm-hmm. another geography, because you need to have your cleaning staff. You need to have your physical things that you put into the home and take away from the home. It's very labor intensive and it's very hospitality intensive, operations intensive. And so we find right now most of the property managers are small businesses who are excellent in their own geography. And so I think if we saw more customers that had US plus UK plus European Union business, like, we could serve our existing customers more broadly. Just today, most of our customers aren't in multiple geographies. So okay. Right now we're sticking to the US.
Okay.
But that said, everyone who has a guest staying in their house needs some sort of commercial coverage. The guests do cause damage no matter what country you're in, and someone needs to cover that.
Okay. And so if you talk about the U.S., and maybe you don't have to answer it this question, but are there any like hotspots in your book of business that you say, oh, no, not from there? Like, do you have that experience in some regions?
We do. We do. And it's interesting and unfortunate because we have the data to back this up.
Yes.
But Los Angeles is a really, really rough place to insure rentals. It seems that the homes are more expensive. So if there's damage, something needs to be replaced, it's going to be a more expensive thing that needs to be replaced. I think there's more of a party culture as well, where people go to Los Angeles or they're in Los Angeles and they're just different types of parties or they're bigger gatherings. And so we have made some changes to our Los Angeles program in terms of limits and deductibles and rates. I know everyone talks about wildfires, things like that. We don't cover acts of nature, but it just turns out Los Angeles is a rough place for us.
I see. And how long do you like watch the data before you decide to put in, as you said, the limits or you start putting restrictions? Is it like 6 months? Is it 2 years?
I think it depends. I mean, we do monitor all the time. We have a great technology team, a great data team. And so we have the ability that the challenge is we have to differentiate between a big loss. And that's what an insurance company should handle, a big loss, a random event that happens, and we should be there for you. And for some customers, we're going to be underwater or losing money for a long time. And that's okay. That's what insurance is for, because these things happen. But if we start to see a high frequency of claims, if we start to see average claim size is higher, that's where we really start to pay attention. Of course, the large claims, we always pay attention to those, but that's just bad luck a lot of the times. And it takes more time to see if there's a trend of these larger fires, floods, like internal floods, like from the bathtub, or liability, where the guest hurts himself. That takes longer to find a trend. But really quickly, we can see frequency and average claim size by geography, by customer, and start to see if there's an issue there or if they're in the right program. Maybe they need a different insurance policy with different limits, different coverages.
Okay. And because I'm interested in data, if let's say that you had unlimited budget and unlimited time, what would you do with the data that you have? What would you like really want to achieve?
I think number one word or the theme would be being proactive.
Okay.
So about everything, customer support, paying claims, knowing how valuable a claim is, but also predicting what's going to happen in a rental and how can we help you ahead of time? If there's a higher risk guest coming into your house, then what can we do about it? We don't need to kick them out, but maybe we can help you give the guests some guidelines so they know that they're being watched or that you care about how the home is being treated. Or maybe we add a deposit, things like that to make sure to decrease the losses, because no one wants a loss. Even though we'll pay out, no one wants a loss. It really messes up operations for a property manager, for any hospitality company. So we love to prevent them, and I think data is essential to helping us prevent them and predict them and then prevent them or mitigate them.
For the customer who takes or rents the apartment, they never see or hear from you, right? It's always the property manager that hears from you.
Correct. Usually the property manager is the one who files the claim, and we interact with them when something goes wrong. The guest sometimes interacts with us. There's a fee. They usually pay for this program. Instead of a damage deposit, they're going to pay a little extra so they're covered, just like a rental car, just like so many other programs where you pay for a damage waiver or damage insurance. So the guest knows we're around and they know there's some coverage, but usually we interact with the property manager.
Do you want to go directly to the customer at one point?
I think there are a lot of things we can work with a customer to help them, help protect them on their trip. There's travel insurance. There are other programs where a traveler has unique insurance needs, and we'd love to work with them too, that are completely discreet from our core product of what we work with the property managers to prevent.
Okay. I know you are VC funded, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
So when you started raising money, that was, I would say that was fairly early for InsurTech, as we know InsurTech. And between now and then, do you think the process has become better for founders?
For InsurTech, I think it's gone in cycles. I think there was a period where, investors just in general don't like companies that take balance sheet risk. So insurance companies take risk on their balance sheet, either through partnerships or on their own, like we do just a little bit. And so there's just, traditional venture capitalists are looking for pure software companies, usually SaaS, with stable recurring revenue, and often insurance looks just a little bit different. For example, ours is transactional revenue instead of recurring revenue. We take some balance sheet risk. It's insurance. And so just some venture capitalists will just say, no, that's just not my category. I don't even want to touch it. Others are intrigued and see the similarities between an insurance program and maybe a SaaS program that they're used to investing in, or maybe a data company that they're used to investing in, because there are similarities, of course. One big change I've seen is there's a lot more acceptance now for smaller markets. For example, short-term home rentals. There are about 1.7, 1.8 million homes that are rented in the U.S., short-term home rentals. That's pretty small compared to the 100 million plus homes that people own. And so, investors like big markets. But the problem is that big market of homeowners insurance, for example, or auto, is really crowded. And if you want market share, you're going to steal it from someone else. And for us, we're creating market share. We're not stealing it. We're convincing people to use an insurance program for the first time, a unique type of insurance. So we're not stealing customers. But it's a hard sale. We have to convince them they need this new program, and that then we're the best one to provide it for them. But investors, I think, were really focused on a big market, like you should do auto or home. But I think we've seen that customer acquisition cost gets really expensive and the competition is hard, and it's really hard to get the right loss ratio, because maybe the customers you can get are the ones you didn't want to get. And so we're seeing a lot more acceptance for us going after a much smaller market, 2% of the total U.S. home market, but there's a chance we could get 30% market share, 40% market share, and then insure everyone through different programs. And so I think that shift has happened in the last year or two.
Okay. Well, that's, I guess they're wising up to the reality of the world.
Correct. But there's money to be made. Insurance companies make money, and there's money to be made in all segments.
Yes. And maybe a little bit to your personal background, like most InsurTech entrepreneurs, I don't think you were born into insurance. Maybe you want to speak a little bit about where you came from.
Yeah. And you're right. No one graduates from high school and says, I'm going to do insurance. No. But here we all are. So, I started off, actually, I graduated from college, but I'd always been entrepreneurial. I had a startup when I was in college, and then I actually started an adult swim team because I was a pretty good swimmer back in the day. And so I started an adult swim team because adults needed good coaching and a place to swim. So I started that in Atlanta and did that for 2 years, and then decided to get deeper into the business world. And I went to McKinsey and Company, the consulting firm in Atlanta, and I worked in the travel practice. So I got to work with airlines and a lot of airlines. I did a little bit of work I specialized in distribution and then loyalty programs and then revenue management. And those were my favorite areas. And then that's part of why I saw the way of distributing this per night or per reservation insurance is through the distribution system, which I understood really well because travel distribution is a little messy and isn't as intuitive as it would seem. If you're a consumer of travel, which we all are, it seems really easy. But there are so many intermediaries in there. The technology is clunky and data has to be shared across lots of providers. And so it's kind of complicated. But we knew that's where you have to insert the insurance if it's going to be for a reservation. Most of the homes we work with are rented 100 nights a year. They don't want to pay for 365 nights of insurance. They want to pay for 100 nights of insurance. And so that's why I think the distribution, the experience really helped think about the business model for Safely. And so I was at McKinsey for 2.5 years, went to business school. I went to London Business School for my MBA. Most importantly is we had an entrepreneurship summer school between the 2 years of the MBA. So that's where I interviewed hundreds of homeowners and just started to understand what happened in their home when they weren't there. And it turns out they would let strangers they trust stay, but it would be strangers. Maybe they donate a week to their kids' school auction or little league auction, or maybe they let friends of friends stay or people from church could stay. And so they let people they trusted, but not like anonymous people. So the first concept we came up with was a website, a marketplace called Trusted Guests, where a homeowner could say, these are the only people I trust to even see I have a house and then book it. And this was before Airbnb. So this was, it's not like we were trying to make Airbnb safer. It's just like, we think this market can open up if we infuse this amount of trust. And we did that for 4 years or so. We couldn't quite get the traction. The homeowners weren't uploading their homes often because these homes were in a second, like 5 hours away from their primary home. We were approaching networks where people trusted each other, but also networks where maybe there's a higher net worth where they didn't need the next rental income as much. So they kept saying, I'm going to upload the house and join, but they never quite did. But they still, the concept of guests they trusted really resonated. And so in 2013, we switched the business model to just try to infuse the right amount of trust and safety, data plus insurance into mm-hmm. every rental we can in the industry. Just like the FICO score mm-hmm. evaluates every lending decision, we want to do the same, add the right data plus insurance into every reservation out there.
I see. Wow, that's a really long journey, like 4 years and something, and then moving to insurance. So actually insurance almost gave you the extra credibility that you needed to really take off.
Yeah, it did. I thought it'd be so easy to build an insurance program. It is not, especially with no data, no experience. And I was so fortunate to run into a team at Assurant, a big carrier, and their innovation team really – they already had the thesis that the sharing economy was a place they needed to spend time. And so we built the program together and it was great having the support of a massive insurance company, but also the support from their management team so I could become an insurance executive. Yeah. And so I've learned a whole lot since we started about insurance.
I mean, this is such a good story because a lot of the more recent, including me, we face challenges with insurance companies. And so it's kind of really nice to say that, yeah, you were like really helped a lot by that, because I guess it then really comes down to timing and the right niche and a lot of other things. So that's good. And that's very heartening, actually. I have this trademark question on the show. Are you an entrepreneur or an innovator? Definition is yours. You can tell me you don't like the question.
I think I'm an entrepreneur. I think what I like to do is gather resources and solve a problem. And that to me feels more like the marshaling of scarce resources seems to be more of an entrepreneur versus an innovator. So I'm more solving problems. I feel like I solve problems that exist versus coming up with new solutions and then trying to build a business around it. which I of course there's a ton of overlap, but I would, that's how I define it. And that's where I see myself.
Okay. And this podcast has always, it's been about the global tech entrepreneur. So like you started in one place and then you looked at business elsewhere. And I know that the Europe or UK is not necessarily a focal point for you because the US is big enough. But do you think that, like, having lived in London and studied here, do you think that has changed your outlook for safely versus if you didn't? It's hypothetical.
Yeah, it definitely did. And, we did launch in Europe. We didn't quite get to launch. And then we decided as a board to really focus on the U.S. So we spun off our EU entity. So that's going right now. It's called Covercat, based in Amsterdam, and is run by Heather Lewitt, who's our managing director. She's fantastic, and she's running that. So we check in regularly. We go after some joint customers together. And so I've spent a lot of time in Amsterdam getting this set up. You know, also Booking.com's headquarters are in Amsterdam. And so I spent time with them. And so really, I believe the sharing economy, but also short-term rentals is a global industry, a global economy. And the needs are similar enough where a single company like Safely can really address the needs globally. It's just a matter of resources and launching in a new market in insurance is just so hard, especially with no revenue, no projections. Even if you're coming from a company with revenue, it still takes a lot of time to find the right insurance partners to back it. And so I'm optimistic about global expansion. That said, I'm realistic because it always takes so much longer than we plan and is so much more expensive and all these things, but the need's global. So we've got to be there either through partnerships or being there ourselves.
And so actually COVID must have been great for you, for the business.
People started traveling differently with COVID. Absolutely. And people started not getting on an airplane. They would get in their car, mm-hmm. and they'd go somewhere. And the places they go would be the mountains, the lake, the ocean. And these are places that don't have the hotel density. Mm. They have a lot more homes. Mm-hmm. And then they go more often because they mm-hmm. didn't have to go to work. The kids didn't have to go to school. And it really accelerated the adoption of short-term home rentals. Like mm-hmm. before, it was something weird people did. Mm-hmm. And now regular people choose a home instead of a hotel. And at the same time, the hotels were cutting way back on their services. So a lot of the reasons you might have chosen a hotel didn't exist for a year or two mm-hmm. because they weren't providing services. There's no restaurant. You know, it's a crowded place. And so homes are just the obvious choice. And it really accelerated the whole category.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking, I mean, even I'm on the move. I'm starting a nomadic existence. And so I was thinking, how exciting is it that actually I'm in the post-COVID universe now, because what I'm going to do seems to be very normal. You pick up and you want to work in Portugal?
That was weird 5 years ago. And now it's totally normal.
Exactly. So as we conclude, I want to ask you two questions. What would be the impact of AI on Safely? Is the agentic workflow going to impact you? And the second one is, what is your outlook for Safely for the next, say, 3 to 5 years?
Yeah. AI is massively important. The good news, remember, I was talking about all the challenges of launching a program either for the first time or in a new geography. I think there are enough regulatory barriers and layers where AI won't completely disintermediate the incumbents in insurance mm-hmm. because of the regulatory needs and just it's a risk-averse industry. But I think operationally it'll do a lot of things. We'll be able to underwrite so much better in real time. Operationally, we'll be able to, the same team can handle 4 or 5 times the amount of volume. Mm-hmm. We're already seeing that just through regular technology, but I think AI can really accelerate that. And then I think we'll be able to be more proactive too. Mm-hmm. And just, it doesn't matter if we solve the problem by being proactive with data, with AI, or with insurance because we paid for it at the end. People don't care, just the problem solved. And so I think we'll see a whole new level of performance, both with operationally and with products. But I still think you're going to need a lot of the old insurance infrastructure, ways of reporting to governments and to your underwriter and your fronting carrier, all these insurance partners. I think some of that just is going to take more than a decade for those to fully go away. And then the question about where is Safely in 3 years, where this year over the winter, we launched some new products because we heard from our customers, and now we're getting better at launching products, and we have the right insurance partners to help us with that. And so we're excited to bring a few more products to our property managers and to homeowners and to guests. So mm-hmm. in this short-term rental world, what risk is there? What can we help mitigate? And so that's job number one. And then second is through distribution. Mm-hmm. Where are people looking for insurance? And we're having a lot of success with the software systems that property managers use, co-branding an insurance program with them. So there's small property managers can say, oh yeah, I knew I wanted insurance. This looks good. And they sign up and we're fully integrated. We're just on in a matter of minutes. We've seen really good traction with some of our partners there. So I think just finding new ways of, versus the direct B2B sales process, finding new ways of getting in front of our customers and making it easy for them to give us a try.
Okay. That sounds very, actually that sounds the way to go. And I think.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm sure that the incumbents kind of like what you said about, yeah, these things are not going to go away, but that's the truth, right? So. You are going to be experts at pulling in technology into a world that is still not yet completely been overhauled.
You got it.
Well, thank you very much, Andrew, for speaking to me about Safely. I wish you luck.
Thank you very much.